Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Gaming in the Wild, a video games podcast about games from the artistic, creative side of the tracks, from indie to AAA. My name's John, I'm your host. I'm out here in Reykjavik on a very foggy day. We don't get much fog, but it's beautiful outside. There is white fog just hanging in the air. It's absolutely gorgeous and unseasonably warm. We are moving into a new year. We are not neck deep in snow, which I always appreciate, but in the spirit of moving into the new year, after Game of the Year season wound up last week, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of the listeners of the show for reaching out and enjoying the Game of the Year episodes. I got a great response. We had 1,400 plays in total across YouTube and the podcast, and loads of nice comments, loads of people sharing it. So a big thank you to all of the listeners who enjoyed the Games of the Year episodes. But we are now obviously moving on into the new year, and so, as is tradition on this podcast, this week's episode is going to be a look ahead. It's all indie games this episode. I've compiled a list of 24 indie games that I'm excited about for the new year. Everything from great white whales of games that we've been waiting for a long, long time, to mysterious games that we've only had a glimpse of. There is a really, really rich selection of games here. I'm very excited to share it with you. It was fun to compile it, actually. I went through an awful lot of trailers compiling this, and an awful lot of Steam pages, and I was trying to remember all of the games that I have been excited about that are coming up this year. And we've got a really good list here. For every game, I got the date or the release window, the title, developer, publisher, a YouTube trailer, which I'll post in the Patreon Discord, and a description from the developers. So we've got a nice little summary of each of those games. And it's kind of funny, there are 6 data points for every game. There are 24 games, it's 144 data points compiled in this list. So it was fun to make. I saw a lot of really exciting trailers, really great visuals in some of these games, and just exciting looking gameplay, some really interesting ones. And a real broad spectrum too, from driving to visual novel to Metroidvania to strange story-led sci-fi, stop-motion, claymation, exploration horror. There's just a fantastic range of games here, so I'm excited to share it with you. But before we get to that, let me just quickly mention, this is a patron-supported show. If you would like to come and join the Discord community of this show and get access to a catalogue of bonus patron-only episodes, and support this podcast at the same time, you can do all of that by hopping onto patreon.com/gaminginthewild and becoming a member for $1 a month as the lowest tier. You get loads of fun stuff. The Discord is fantastic. It's really nice to have people support the show in that way and to show their support. So you're welcome to join. It's patreon.com/gaminginthewild for that. Also, a big thank you to everyone who is leaving a star rating when they are listening on Spotify. Big thank you to everyone who reviews the show on Apple Podcasts. And a big thank you to everyone who retweets the show announcements or shares it with a friend. It all helps. And the ratings have really been flying up lately. So thank you to everyone who is leaving star ratings and reviews. I really appreciate it. And with all of that said, let's get into the episode. This is it. It's the 24 indie games to look out for in 2024. So I think a good place to start on an episode like this is games that have release dates, games that we know are coming, games that are coming in the next few months that have been nailed down by the developers and they're on their way to us. And the first one on this list comes out on January the 19th, just a week from now as I'm recording. It is called The Cub, and it is developed by Demagogue Studio, who made High Water and Golf Club Wasteland. There is a Steam demo of this game. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm going to download it and play it. I'm excited about anything that Demagogue does, actually. They're a really, really cool studio. Golf Club Wasteland was a super atmospheric, thoughtful golf game. But the thing that I liked about it most was that it had a sense of nostalgia. It had a podcast that you listen to while you play that was a work of brilliant speculative sci-fi, listening to future interviews, future pop songs, future news stories. It just filled out the world so well. And The Cub is set in that world. It's a platform game, and they've described it as quite a tricky one. And there is a description for this one on the Steam page. There's a trailer there that you can watch as well. And the developers describe it by saying, "Return to Demagogue's whimsical neon-lit apocalypse in a Jungle Book meets the Armageddon fusion. Parkour through the remains of humanity as a child being hunted, while catchy end-of-days tunes and curious survivor stories play on the radio. So that sounds like they're hitting the same beats that really, really made me like Golf Club Wasteland. The golf in that game was kind of fine, sometimes frustrating. You were golfing through a post-apocalyptic environment. So you were golfing onto, you know, the balconies of falling down tower blocks and up escalators and across swamps and things like that. But all the time that you were doing it, you were just getting this great podcast radio station. And so this time it's a parkour platform game. So whether or not the gameplay is awesome, I think I will enjoy this game if they're going back to that formula. So that's The Cub by Demagogue Studios. It's the first game of the list and it's out on January 19th. And the second game we have here is probably the most visually striking on the list, or at least one of them for sure. It's coming out on February 13th, so it's out next month, about a month from now. It's called Ultros, and the developer is called Hadoku. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Maybe it's Hadoke. It's H-A-D-O-Q-U-E. Hadoku? Hadoke? Hadoki? No idea. But they describe the game by saying, Ultros is a psychedelic Metroidvania, where you wake up stranded on the sarcophagus, a cosmic uterus holding an ancient demonic being. Trapped in the loop of a black hole, you will have to explore the sarcophagus and meet its inhabitants to understand the part you play. And I really can't overstate just how eye-popping the art is in Ultros. You have to watch a trailer for this game. It has a color palette that is reminiscent of like 1970s, like acid rock album covers. It's like swirling shapes and colors. It's so bright. I really haven't seen a game that does it quite like Ultros. I mean, Pizza Tower had a very busy, colorful art style, but Ultros is really taking it to another level. It's the art design as well. It's very busy. And so there's just a lot happening on screen in a really cool way. It's interesting, man. I've got fond memories of coming into art galleries sometimes. And when the space is full of really, really bright colored paintings with patterns on them, like Yao Yao Kusama, for example, I get goosebumps sometimes just from the color stimulus. And Ultros is the game that I have seen that maybe comes the closest to that kind of artistic color therapy. So that's Ultros on February 13th. And the next game we have here is one that you might know. I think it was featured in a PlayStation Direct, so it's been out there. It's got some eyes on it. It's coming out on February 22nd, and it is called Pacific Drive. This is a roguelike driving game. I think the developers have been describing it as a road-like, bless them. But it's very, very cool looking. In this game, it's first person. You have an old station wagon, which you can upgrade and repair between runs. It's like a rusty old shell of a car. Very homely and kind of nostalgic in its own way. It's like the kind of car that you might see in E.T. or something. And you take it out into the zone. This is an area with strange phenomena occurring, what seems to be maybe like an alien invasion or some kind of supernatural events. It's very much got an X-Files vibe to it. And you have to try and escape the zone in your car. But as you do so, you will find supernatural phenomena, you'll find gravity wells, you'll find all kinds of electric disturbances, maybe even creatures out there. And you're driving through it. So it's a very interesting concept for a game. We haven't seen many horror driving games, but I was really sold on this concept. The graphics are really nice. The car looks great. I love the customization options that we've seen in the various trailers. I'm very curious about the handling of the car. You can also get out of the car and run around. So if you come to a place where there is a wrecked car on the side of the road, you can get out and try and strip it for parts, which then I think will carry over when you die, or some of it will. I'm not quite sure how the roguelike elements work, but you can then use that to upgrade the car for your next run. So there's a mixture of outrunning, danger, exploring, creeping through the road systems, foraging, risk and reward, that kind of thing. Very, very interesting looking game. It's by a developer called Ironwood Studios. It's published by Kepler. The description that the devs give is, face the supernatural dangers of the Olympic exclusion zone with a car as your only lifeline in this driving survival adventure. Scavenge resources, load up your trusty station wagon, and drive like hell to make it through alive. That's Pacific Drive, out on February 22nd. Funnily enough, the next game is also out on February 22nd, and it is also a game about a road trip, but of a very different kind. I don't think there is any direct driving gameplay in Open Roads. It looks more like a visual novel based around a mother-daughter road trip, in which they are travelling together to try and untangle family secrets, I think, from the sounds of the trailer. This game has had a bit of a controversial and troubled development cycle. The developer is currently listed as Open Roads Team, and that is because it used to be by a Fulbright studio, but a lot of people who worked at Fulbright had allegations of abuse and unsuitable workplace conduct and bad vibes and all kinds of stuff against the head of Fulbright. He then split from the studio. He kept the name Fulbright, and the game and the development team went external and became the Open Roads Team. It is being published by Annapurna Interactive, and I am glad that the team got to keep the game and to keep working on it, because it seemed like it was pretty close to completion when all of this went down last year. But the developers described this one as long-lost family secrets, hints of a hidden fortune, and miles to go before they sleep. Tess Devine's relationship with her mom has never been easy, but they're about to set out together on a journey into the past that they'll never forget. So this looks like a thoughtful, narrative-forward game. It's nicely voice-acted. It has really nice hand-drawn art. And in the trailer, we can see that there is scrapbooking, there is searching for clues and assembling stuff. There are conversations that happen in the car. And we haven't really seen the full breadth of the gameplay. I'm quite curious if it is just a narrative journey where we are along for the ride, no pun intended, or if we get to make choices, if there are branching paths, if you can succeed or fail with your relationship with your mother, if you can, if there is, you know, actual investigation involved in getting clues, or whether they are just laid out before you. So I'm curious about the level of interactivity in Open Roads, but I'm definitely interested. It looks dreamy, it has a nice atmosphere, and so hopefully the Open Roads team can get the game to where they want it, with the help of the publisher Annapurna. And hopefully it will be a good one. That's Open Roads, out on February 22nd. And those four are the only ones on the list that actually have release dates that have been set in stone, but we still have 20 more to go. The next section that I've sectioned off here is games that have a specific release window, but no date. So games that are coming out in quarter one, maybe games that are coming out in spring or even January, early 2024. Developers use a lot of different terms to describe time windows, which can be a little frustrating when you were compiling a list like this, but let's get into them. The first game is coming out January, so this month, if all goes well, and it is called Mina the Hollower. So as that soundtrack gives away a little bit, if you are a retro game fan, Mina the Hollower might be the game for you on this list. It is by Yacht Club Games, and in this game you take control of Mina, a renowned hollower hurtled into a desperate mission to rescue a cursed land. Whip foes, burrow through the ground, and explore a pixel-perfect world in Mina the Hollower, a brand new game from the developers who brought you Shovel Knight. This one has been around for a while, and I think a lot of people are hotly anticipating it. There are lots of trailers you can look at. It's got really nice pixel art that looks like, I'm no retro game expert, but I would say Game Boy Advance era. It is colour, but only just blocked out colour. The game looks like it goes between a top-down perspective a la Zelda and a side-on perspective. I read a preview of this one from someone who had played it at a games festival in The Escapist, and they described it as a mixture between Castlevania and Zelda. In this game, Mina is a hollower. Hollowers are inventors, and so there might be aspects of this game that involve creation, crafting, using things that you have made to get through puzzles. It's quite an interesting looking one. It's been around the block quite a bit, this one. I feel like we've been waiting for it for quite a while. But if you are a retro game fan, if you like old Zelda, if you like the old pixel art Castlevanias, this is definitely one to look out for. And the release window is January, so you might not have to wait for long. The next next game we have here is one that I have covered on the show in quite a bit of depth, actually, because there was a Steam demo. I think you can still get it. I reviewed it in its entirety and was incredibly struck by it. This is definitely one of my personal hot picks on the list. This is one that I am really, really excited for. The release window is early 2024, whatever that means, and the game is 1000 Times Resist. It is developed by Sunset Visitor, and it is published by the ever-reliable Fellow Traveller, famously the publishers of Citizen Sleeper, Paradise Killer, In Other Waters, Genesis Noir, The Stillness of the Wind, Neo Cab. They've got a really good success rate, and they focus on narrative-forward games. So 1000 Times Resist is a really, really interesting one. The developers describe it by saying that it's a thrilling sci-fi adventure. The year is unknown, and a disease spread by an alien invasion keeps you underground. You are a watcher. You dutifully fulfill your purpose in serving the All Mother until the day you discover a shocking secret that changes everything. I found the demo of this one to be absolutely fascinating. It's a game with an alternating perspective, a pretty clean art style, with polygons. I can't quite place what the shading technique is on it or what the style is, but it's got a very clean art style. Check out the trailers for it and you'll see what I mean. It's got a bit of an anime style to it, I would say. And the gameplay involves time switching. So you're in a school in the demo and you can flip between the far past when everything was still there, like humanity was still there. You can talk to pupils. You're projecting yourself into the past in some kind of simulation. But then you can flick back to the present and see that the school is now wrecked, that the children are gone, that lots of doorways have been boarded up, that there has been some kind of disaster. And as you move through the demo, you learn about a crying disease where people would cry themselves to death if they got the disease. And the whole thing just seems fascinating. It seems like a layered, brainy sci-fi with time travel and lots of melancholia. And you'll find out that your character is an AI, but seems based on people in the past. And when you step back into the past, it is the time when the AI that you are was a real girl. It's just fascinating. It's a really, really good one. I was very, very hooked on the story in this one. And it's so mysterious. There are so many hints at what is happening. The All Mother seems to be the mother of the AIs, but the AIs seem to be based on real people who had real relationships and problematic ones at that. There is some sort of ghost in the machine kind of vibes to it. The whole thing is just deeply melancholic in a way that I absolutely love. It reminds me of games like Hyperlight Drifter, Ender Lilies, where they just have a heavy mood that I just I really like. It's like serene and sad. Sad as hell. So that one's coming out soon. It's early 2024 is the release window. Hopefully we get some more news on it. That's 1000 Times Resist. The next one that we have here, I mean, this could have gone into the White Whales territory, but it does actually have a release window. This one also is scheduled for early 2024. It's a game that has been in development for years. Years and years and years. I think it's like 10 years plus at this point that it's been knocking around. It's called Harold Halibut. You will have heard me talk about it before. I think I mentioned it on last year's indie preview. But as it is so long in development, it has slipped over into this year. It's coming to Game Pass, which was a really welcome development, I think. It's by Slow Bros. It's a stop-motion adventure game. So everything that you see on the screen looks physical, and I believe is physical. So if you imagine the look of something like The Nightmare Before Christmas, then that's the kind of style that you're getting in Harold Halibut. It's claymation looking. And Harold lives on a space station that has crashed into an ocean. And so people live underwater. It's a sci-fi. It's, again, it's another melancholic game. That's going to be a recurring theme, man. There is just something about sadness in games and melancholic worlds that I just really, really enjoy. Harold Halibut looks great. You are walking through an underground living city, looking out of portholes, seeing the sea around you, going and talking to different people inside the station. I don't know much about what the story really entails, but when you see the trailer for this one, you'll see why it made this list. It has an absolutely singular look. The one thing that I hope for it is that it controls well. You know, games that are over-animated, as I have said before, in that rotoscoped Prince of Persia style, where there are long animations for turning or starting to walk or stopping, can make games feel a little sluggish. But I get the feeling that Harold Halibut is anything but an action game. So even if it is a little sluggish, then maybe it won't matter too much if we're just walking through the space station, talking to people, learning about this place, learning about this speculative future for humanity, and just experiencing these absolutely beautiful environments. Hopefully the story is good. Slowbros describe it by saying, Harold Halibut is a handmade narrative game about friendship and life on a city-sized spaceship submerged in an alien ocean. It's been 250 years since your home, an ark-like spaceship, fled an Earth on the verge of Cold War to find a habitable planet to preserve the human race. I mean, that just sounds great to me. I can't wait to find out more about the world that they've created. Early 2024, and keep an eye on Game Pass for that one. It's Harold Halibut. The next game that we have here has a spring release window. I don't know what that means. Is spring begin? When does that spring begin? I have no idea, man. I live in Iceland. We don't even have spring. It goes from winter to, I don't know, a non-snowy couple of months and then back to winter. I've lost track of the seasons. But it's called Still Wakes the Deep. It is by The Chinese Room, who made some very interesting games. They made Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. And they also made Dear Esther, one of the foundational walking simulators, one of the first grown-up art games that seemed to come out in the indie boom of the last decade. But this one is an interesting one. It's set on an oil rig, which seems very interesting. It looks haunted as hell. It looks really, really creepy. I'm not sure if there are supernatural elements to this one, but I think there are. But it is The Chinese Room, so I imagine that it's mostly going to be about exploration, it's mostly going to be about discovery. I don't imagine that it's going to be like a crunchy Dead Space or anything. But they describe it by saying, 1975, disaster strikes at the Bear Eddy oil rig off the coast of Scotland. Navigate the collapsing rig to save your crew from an otherworldly horror on the edge of all logic and reality. That sounds absolutely fascinating to me. So an oil rig is an unusual setting. It's very curious. It feels claustrophobic. It feels industrial. And the idea of exploring a collapsing oil rig is terrifying enough, but an otherworldly horror on the edge of all logic and reality. Who knows what that game is going to be? I'm very curious to try it. I do trust that team. They make interesting games. This one is published by Secret Mode, made by The Chinese Room. It's out in spring. That's Still Wakes the Deep. Two more games to go with release windows, and the first one is another one of my hot picks. This is one of the ones that makes my like very, very, very cream of the crop top of the pile indie games that I'm looking forward to this year. I have played a demo of this one and I absolutely loved it. I'm tempted to play it again. It's so good. It's Nine Souls. If you haven't heard of this one, it's developed by Red Candle Games. It is a side-scroller hack and slash game with an anthropomorphic animal samurai as the hero. It's got a very cool art style. It just looks so good. The colours are amazing. The art style is amazing. It's got an animated film quality to the whole thing, like a Ronin vibe to it. And in this game, it's like a samurai sci-fi side-scroller. But the thing that really struck me about it is that it's based on parrying, which is not something that I usually love. So it's sort of a side-on Sekiro-influenced action platformer, in which you're going to have to parry precisely, with a slight Soulsy FromSoft influence to it, in that between checkpoints there is like an assault course of enemies and platforming challenges that you have to get by. If you die, you go back to the last checkpoint, and the real challenge, as in FromSoft-inspired games, is getting to the next checkpoint. That's what you're trying to do, really. It's like get to the next campfire, save your progress, master a section of gameplay. Nine Souls very much has that FromSoft influence to it, but I really, really enjoyed the demo, man. The story is intriguing. You start off in an overworld where a tribe are sending children into this portal. They believe that they are sending them somewhere good, but you discover that they are not, and you enter an underworld where these kids are being sent, and as a samurai, you start to delve deeper, and you start to discover more about yourself, and you start to discover more about this world. The gameplay is tight as hell. It looks great. It sounds great. I'm very, very excited for this one. That is Nine Souls, due in quarter one, so before April, notionally. Try out the demo. It's still on Steam. Really good game. One more here with a release window. This one is also a quarter one. It is No Rest for the Wicked. This is a game that seemed to come out of nowhere, but it is by Moon Studios, the developer responsible for the Ori games. It is published by Private Division. And they describe it by saying, from Moon Studios, the award-winning developers of Ori and the Blind Forest and Will of the Wisps, comes No Rest for the Wicked, a visceral precision action RPG set to reinvent the genre. I mean, that's a pretty bold claim for a developer to make, man. They're predicting they're going to reinvent the ARPG genre. Bold indeed. This one has a really, really nice visual style. I think it was unveiled at the Game Awards, actually. And I do remember that it's one of the games that stood out to me. I put it into the Game Awards, the best trailers episode that I did after the ceremony, looking through some of the announcements that had happened. This was definitely one that stuck out. The faces look really, really cool. They're very stylized. They are kind of skinny faces with like jutting cheekbones, very narrow heads. It's just got a really cool style to it. I mean, I have to say, actually, reading this text on Steam, they do love to praise themselves. Like, it's getting a bit weird down here. They talk about their own art style here and say, explore a painting come to life, the striking painterly world, meticulously built with an incredible attention to detail and a unique, ageless art style. Beauty radiates in every frame. I mean, chill out, guys. I mean, it's getting a little masturbatory here. Maybe they didn't write the text. Maybe it was a PR person. But even so, it's in the Steam description. That seems a little over the top. But marketing notwithstanding, the game does look very interesting. Moon Studio, obviously highly capable developers. Both of the Ori games are amazing. Interesting to see them taking on another genre. It's got a bit of a Game of Thrones feel to it. It's got a little bit of a hard-bitten feel to it, as well as the medieval fantasy of it all. So that's going to be a really interesting one. I'm curious to know more about the gameplay. I'm curious to know more about the story and the world. That is No Rest for the Wicked, apparently out in quarter one, and so by the end of March. Let's hope they hit that target. And now on to games with one of the loosest release windows of all, just games that are penciled for 2024. So the first game that I have here is quite an intriguing one. It is Nivalis, developed by Ion Lands, the developers of Cloudpunk. Cloudpunk is a very cool game. You may have seen clips from it. It certainly went viral. It's a voxel world in a Blade Runner style, including flying cars, an endless night, constant rain, neon everywhere. Cloudpunk was a game in which you played a taxi driver who gets sucked into a night of chaos in a city. This seems like a pretty direct follow-up. I can't remember if it is the exact same city. Maybe Cloudpunk was set in Nivalis, but this looks like a pretty significant development on Cloudpunk. This one's published by 505. We've got a pretty good record. They describe it by saying, grow your business, manage restaurants and nightclubs, make friends and enemies, buy and decorate apartments, go fishing, and maybe even find love in Nivalis, the city that stretches from the ocean to the clouds. If I were their copy editor, I would say, guys, that is way too much of a sentence. You need to break that into a few. But we're not here to review marketing material. I guess we are in a way. We are here to talk about games. And Nivalis does look good. It has a different visual style to Cloudpunk. Cloudpunk was a purely voxel game, including very blocky NPCs. Nivalis takes a big leap forward by introducing polygonal NPCs in a voxel world. So it keeps that crunchy voxel look to the world itself, but it has more illustrated characters, just with a bit more style moving around in that world. Looks really cool, and it's a different take. I mean, I think the most interesting thing about Cloudpunk was the city itself. And so I like the direction they've taken here, which is spend more time living in the city as a citizen, as a resident, and just exploring that fantasy of living in a cyberpunk city. So I'm curious to try that one out. The next game here is called Earthblade. It is developed by Extremely OK Games, the developers of Celeste. And it does look like that too, actually. It does have that style of pixel art. It has that style of old school pixel animation where you can kind of see the frames in like the idle animation. It looks like it's got some precise platforming once again. This time it has combat, and it looks like maybe it's got a bit more of an adventure game thing going on as well. It doesn't look like you are tied to linear levels in Earthblade, so it's a development in several directions. They describe this one by saying, "You are Nevoa, an enigmatic child of fate returning at long last to Earth in this exploration action platformer from the creators of Celeste. Earthblade's lush pixel art world offers seamless exploration, challenging combat, and countless mysteries to pick apart." So I guess that all of the Celeste fans out there, and there are many of them, will be really, really looking forward to this one. I played a little bit of Celeste, and whilst I admired it, I just found it way too hard for me. Even with all the assists, I just couldn't play it, basically. It was just outrageous. I got through the first few worlds and just thought, nope. But I am curious to see what they do next. It's a different kind of game. It's got a fantasy vibe to it. So Celeste fans, rejoice. Earthblade is coming out. The next one on here is almost in the Great White Whale kind of territory. It's a game we've known about for quite a while. It was supposed to come out last year. It was bumped into this year. It is developed by Shared Memory, a.k.a. solo developer Billy Basso. It's published by Big Mode, a.k.a. YouTube star Donkey. It is Animal Well. Very, very cool looking game. I think it was first revealed in maybe a Day of the Devs or something like that, or something surrounding Summer Games Fest. This one is, it looks like a cross between a Hollow Knight kind of game and something like Rain World. So you're exploring a 2D pixel art world, side on, minimal pixel graphics, really cool, dreamy color palette. But the fun thing about this one is that there seems to be a fairly dynamic ecosystem happening inside the maze, the caverns of this game, where you can interact with different living organisms, different plant life, and you have to hide and flee and fight and jump. And by interacting with the ecosystem, you can make chains of events take place. So it looks very, very dynamic. It looks cool. It looks full of secrets. There's something mysterious to this one. The developer description is, "Explore a dense, interconnected labyrinth and unravel its many secrets. Collect items to manipulate your environment in surprising and meaningful ways. Encounter beautiful and unsettling creatures as you attempt to survive what lurks in the dark. There is more than what you see." That last line is genius, man. I really want to know. I want to get in there. I want to get to the bottom of some of these mysteries and poke at this game and see what it is. That one is Animal Well. Another game that's been delayed a bunch of times that a lot of people are looking forward to is The Plucky Squire, developed by All Possible Futures, published by Devolver. Devolver are excellent publishers, so if this one got bumped back, we can only assume it is for good reason. This one seems to combine sort of Zelda-like top-down gameplay with pixel art, but then it's set in a storybook, so you play it across the pages of the book, and that is when it is more lo-fi and retro, but your character also comes out of the pages of the book into a 3D world. It looks a little bit like Tinykin or Pikmin, like it's a big world and you are a small character who has come out of a book. The developers describe this one by saying, "Storybook characters discover a three-dimensional world outside the pages of their book and must jump between 2D and 3D realms to save their friends in this charming action adventure." It does look very cool. I like that it has two different art styles. I like that it has two different gameplay styles. It's fairly brave to mash those together. A little bit of a Link Between Worlds kind of vibe to it. It's got a charming art style. I will certainly try that one out when it comes sometime in 2024. It's The Plucky Squire. Four more games to go in this section. The next one is a game that I also talked about in last year's episode. So it's one of those ones that I was excited about for last year that has been bumped back into this one. It is Hyper Light Breaker, developed by Heart Machine, the makers of Hyper Light Drifter, and Solar Ash, which I liked a lot, more than most people, I think. This one is published by Gearbox, and it seems like a bit of a continuation of the work they did in Solar Ash, which was to bring the aesthetic and the feel And the hemoglobin packed kind of neon sci-fi bodily melancholia of Heart Machine's world into 3D. But this time it's co-op. This time it is roguelike. There are worlds that generate around you. You can play with other people. I believe you can also play it in solo player, single player rather, which I'm very happy to hear because I don't really co-op and I certainly don't want to play with four people. The idea terrifies me. Not much of a multiplayer kind of guy, but definitely a Heart Machine kind of guy. So this one just looks great. It has that deep music that I really liked. It's almost like murky Berlin electronica, gothic electronica. It has that deep purples and neon blues and pinks kind of color scheme, a lovely art style, as all of Heart Machine's games do. They say about this one, enter the overgrowth, a forgotten land in the world of Hyperlight. Play alone or with friends to explore open worlds, fight monsters, unlock gear, create builds, take on the mysterious crowns, and overthrow the ominous Abyssal King. Definitely got my eyes peeled for that one. I don't know if it's been in early access. I feel like I would have known if it was, but it's the kind of game that seems like it might need early access. If they are doing a multiplayer game, it's good to let people play it and take the feedback, right? But hopefully we'll see it sometime this year. That is Hyperlight Breaker. The next one is just a little indie game by a solo developer. Very, very cute. I think I first saw this one on Twitter. The developer has been tweeting out some very, very pretty GIFs of it. They've just been going a little bit viral. A bit like something like Dorf Romantic, maybe, or Islanders, or Townscaper. Those kind of games, like mellow, chill games that are as much like a toy or a decorator as a game per se. This one is called Summer House. It is developed by Friedemann. It is published by Future Friends. Very simple description for this one, shorter than most. They say, a tiny building game about beautiful lived-in houses. No rules or restrictions, just pure creativity. And I tried out a demo of this one last week, actually. There is a demo of Summer House available on Steam. You are presented with a landscape in front of you. It's very nicely rendered. It has a nice, definitely video game art style. It's like a smudgily, pixely rendering. Really, really cool. It's got trees that blow in the wind. You can see the tides behind the space that you see. You use various elements to build a summer house. Different kinds of walls, be it wood, stone, cement, plaster. You can then pick windows, you can pick the shape of the roof, you can give it turrets, you can give it a giant tiled roof, you can give it traditional small roof, you can put a satellite dish on there, you can put plant pots on it, post boxes, power cables, all kinds of decorations. I played it for about half an hour. I built two different summer houses. There was no progression. It was almost like that would have been enough for me, honestly, like just to tinker with it for half an hour. But then when you watch the trailer for this game, it looks like there is progression. So it looks like you are presented with a first level and that as you progress, new pieces will unlock that allow you to make more creative and bigger summer houses or different summer houses. So I am interested in how the progression will work. I think this is the kind of game that will live or die based on how much you're incentivized to keep going with it. You know, I think of games like Cloud Gardens, which is a casual game to some degree, but the activity itself, you're moving through levels very quickly. There are tens or scores of levels. In Summer House, there appear only to be three so far. So I'm very curious. Like, I want to know what this game is, and I hope that there is enough meat on the bones, because what is there so far is very, very charming indeed. That's Summer House. The next one I have here is another one of my hot picks, so it's the third one. This is a game that I'm very, very much looking forward to. It has a beautiful trailer that seems to pack more emotion into its, like, 1.5 minutes than some games have in their entirety. It is by Nomada, the developers of Greece. It is Neva, published by Devolver Digital again, always a good sign. They seem like safe hands to help shepherd games forward and very good at talent spotting. The trailer of this one is really incredible. I mean, the art style of Gris was really something, but Neva seems to take it to a whole new level. It's just beautifully rendered. If you are watching on YouTube, then you will be able to see it as I am speaking. But if you're listening to the podcast, please do go out and check the trailer for this one. It's just a thing of beauty. It really is. They describe the game by saying, experience the moving tale of a young woman and her lifelong bond with a magnificent wolf as they embark on a thrilling adventure through rapidly dying worlds. If this is anything like Gris, it might be light on the gameplay. I don't think the trailer really shows any gameplay, to be honest. I assume it's going to be side-on. I assume that what we see in the trailer is an animated cutscene. But the gameplay in Gris was good enough. Like, there was enough there to keep you occupied, and you were really playing for the audio-visual journey. I think you were playing for the different colours, the watercoloured feel of the whole thing. It was just very vivid, very beautiful. Very absorbing. So very curious about Neva. Honestly, that trailer just sold me. I'm all in on this one. Can't wait for it to come out. Just a 2024 release window, though, so who knows? I mean, I have a sneaking feeling this is the kind of game that might slide a little, but I don't know. Let's wait and see. Let's be optimistic. And the last game on the 2024 release window part of the show is another one you may have heard of. This one has been around the block. We've seen a couple trailers for it. It is developed by R-Eck. It is called Pepper Grinder, another Devolver joint. Looks like they've got a packed year ahead of them. This is a game that, if you have played Ori, you will remember when you get the ability to jump and then dive into sand. You then burrow through the sand in a sweeping arc before popping out again. And there are sections of game where you are just burrowing. It's like underground platforming, carving your way through the soil. Very, very cool. And it can be built into some really cool platforming challenges. It's a really nice form of mobility. There's just something very appealing about it. Pepper Grinder is entirely based on that one. And the developers describe it as an action-packed 2D adventure, blending traditional platforming with an alternate drilling mode that allows you to dive in and out of the earth like a dolphin swims through water. Very good description. Yeah, that's a really nice looking game. It looks like a relaxing time. It looks like the kind of game, if you get into the zone, that you could just really flow with. Definitely a flow state feeling to that one. That's Pepper Grinder. And that takes us into the last section of the podcast. We've six more to go. I'm just going to call this section The Games of Mystery. And we're going to start off with two games that have been announced but have no more info available. The first one is a big one for me. I am a huge fan of the developer Giant Squid, who made Abzu and The Pathless. The Pathless hit my top five in the GOTY list that year. It was just wonderful. They are part of the team that originally conceived of and made Journey. And their next game is a slight return to that game in vision. It is called Sword of the Sea. This one is a sand surfing game that looks very much like Journey, actually. Or at least, it's back in the desert scenario. And in Journey, you do slide down banks of sand. It has a nice mobility to it. Although, in Journey, it is connected to endurance somewhat, in terms of your flying and so forth. So you often end up like trudging through the sand. It looks like Sword of the Sea is much more mobile, much more based on traversal, much more based on feeling free in the world, more like The Pathless. So this is a very cool looking game. The graphics look beautiful, very, very intriguing, and the developer obviously has pedigree. They describe this one as an atmospheric adventure with high-speed movement inspired by skating games. Surf over a surreal landscape of waves on your hover sword and unveil a lost ocean teeming with life. It's got an Austin Wintry soundtrack, which is enough reason to play a game for me by itself, but Sword of the Sea. Hopefully we get some news on it. This could be the kind of game that suddenly it just pops up in a direct and then it's in our hands, you know. Hard to say right now. It's not a game that I would personally draft for my fantasy critic unless it at least has a release window. It might just be in development, you know, but it has been a few years now since The Pathless, so I'm hoping that we hear something about Sword of the Sea this year and maybe even get our hands on it. The second game of mystery is Henry Halfhead. This is a funny little game. It's a sandboxy type thing with a bit of a Katamari chaotic vibe to it. It's developed by Lulu, published by Pop Agenda. And it looks like a sandbox experimental toy game. You play as Henry, who is literally half of a head, and you will be able to morph into different objects and just cause chaos. I'm not exactly sure what the aims of this game are, but yeah, I did mention Katamari and things like Watam, games where there is cause and effect, just packed with surrealism and humour, so perhaps not like the stiff, conservative types of progression that we are used to, or traditional progression, should I say, but rather the play itself being the thing. They describe this one as, "Meet Henry, merely half a head, but with the peculiar ability to possess and control any object within their reach. Discover every object's unique properties and abilities, and cleverly combine them to progress through Henry's not-so-ordinary everyday life." Really interesting one. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be looking at it right now. If you're not, check out the YouTube version or check out the trailer. That's Henry Halfhead. I don't know. I mean, we've seen a little bit of this one now. If I were a betting person, I would say Henry Halfhead is coming out this year, but let's wait and see. The next two here are two interesting indies. These are games that have been mooted to come out, or at least shown a lot of, but currently have no release dates. So they are in development or indefinitely delayed, which, you know, maybe just means that the developer wants to work on it in peace without pressure, which I can entirely understand. I mean, I think it's maybe, as a gamer, it just doesn't feel great when you are into a game that has been shown and you're following it with interest. In an ocean of games, there are some that you choose to care about. And I think good communication really can matter, you know? It's nice to know when something is coming. It's nice to know where something is at. And so indefinitely delayed games are a little frustrating. And whilst I understand all of the reasons that that might be the case, it does feel like it's a last resort for a developer to just take a release date off a game and say, coming soon. And sometimes that coming soon can be there for years, and it does feel frustrating. It's strange. I see both sides of this, both developers needing space to make a game that is taking longer than they thought, and player frustration that a game that they were looking forward to is not only delayed, but indefinitely delayed. So it's just out there. You know, it's like being teased almost, being shown something that you cannot play with no further info. So I can see why people do get frustrated, but both of these games were in last year's show. So the first one is Shim by Ewoud van der Werf. Jesus Christ, man, Dutch names are really hard to pronounce. I gave it my best shot. It's published by Extra Nice and Playism. You may have seen this one doing the rounds. It's pretty visually striking. There's a very minimal color scheme, isometric, and you play as little black spirit that can only jump between shadows in a dynamic world where there are cars driving around, there are pedestrians walking by. And so if you jump into the shadow of a pedestrian, you're with that pedestrian until they walk by another shadow that you can jump to. So it's a very cool-looking dynamic platformer. They describe it as a game about jumping from shadow to shadow in a challenging and lively environment. This 3D platformer takes elements of light and animation and adds them directly to the gameplay, delivering an experience that you will only find in Shim. I believe there is a little bit more to the gameplay. A shim is apparently, I think it's some kind of animism, like the spirit of an object. And so there is something about reuniting shadows with their objects or something like that. So some lost souls and animism. Seems very cool. I really like the look of that one. It's got a nice graphic style to it as well. The next one is Naiad. I've covered this game several times on the podcast. Naiad, N-A-I-A-D. If you have not seen this one, check it out online. This is a beautiful looking game, developed by High Warp, a solo developer. There has been a demo of this one on Steam that I did play, so I have had hands on this one. It's the top-down game about a river fairy, where you play as a little wheeling fairy. When I say top-down, this is true top-down. If you are old enough to remember games like Alien Breed, or I guess more lately, like Hotline Miami, it's like a vertically top-down perspective. So you're looking down onto the horizontal figure floating in water of this little swimming fairy, and you wheel through the water. There are collectibles, there are tides, there are puzzles, there are little environmental cues, there is a story to it as well. Very beautiful. It has lovely glistening water and a bright popping art style. A super cool game, but it's just been delayed forever, man. But it's a true solo dev project, so, you know. I will say that the demo, I felt that the turning, you turn on an axis, so you can't just turn and go straight in the direction you want to go. You can't turn and dart. It's not agile. It's like you turn on a circle. And so it felt a little unwieldy. And the fact that this game has been delayed, I would really hope that is what is being worked on, because the movement has to work in this game. Otherwise, it could be a cumbersome experience, and that is not what you want when you are gliding through water. High Warp describes this one as: immerse yourself in a relaxing, minimalist, and colourful exploration adventure. Flow with Naiad across a mysterious river and interact with its fauna and flora to discover little secrets. Enjoy a wholesome experience with an original and dreamy visual style. So hopefully we see something of Shim and Naiad this year, both very intriguing games, both very cool indies. Looking forward to them both when they finally do arrive. And to round out this podcast, we have the two white whales. These are games that a lot of people want. We know a lot about them. We've been waiting a long time for them. And they could drop. They could just be finished and come out. The first one is a game called Death Trash. If you haven't seen this one, check it out. It's like an old school Fallout inspired isometric kind of adventure game where you play a character who wakes up in a vault, has been sealed into the vault for their own health, but immediately breaks out into the world and discovers that the world has just gone to craziness. There is meat everywhere. There are huge fleshy creatures. It's a very bloody, strange, kind of queasy worlds, and you go exploring. It's kind of sci-fi fantasy kind of thing. There is action. You have a gun. You can rotate on an axis and shoot freely. There is combat. There are towns that you can go to. There are quests you can do. There is a story to it. There is an overworld map. The art style is amazing. The aesthetic is unique. It's just fucking cool. Death Trash is a very, very cool game. There is a demo of it. It's in early access. I played it for a bit. I stopped playing because I liked it too much. I knew I was going to be replaying what I was playing, so I thought, I'm going to put this one on hold and wait for the final version. Little did I know that 2 years later, I would still be waiting. It's developed by Crafting Legends, who are somewhat communicative about the progress of the game. But I don't know, man. It's been a couple of years now. It did have a Kickstarter phase. So when there is a reason like that, when you're raising money to fund the game, you know, you do publicity earlier because you have a Kickstarter to promote, and then maybe it just takes longer to make the game. But I mean, Death Trash is so cool. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. It's on Steam. There's a demo. Just super, super cool game. I cannot wait to play that thing, man. It just looks brilliant. I think I will burn through it in no time. And the last game here, the second white whale, I think you've probably guessed it. There was a musical clue not long ago. It is, of course, Hollow Knight Silksong, developed by Team Cherry, the long-awaited, long-teased, long-delayed sequel to Hollow Knight. I will read out a description, even though I think everyone in the world, in the gamersphere, knows what this is. Team Cherry describe it as: discover a vast haunted kingdom in Hollow Knight Silksong, the sequel to the award-winning action-adventure. Explore, fight, and survive as you ascend to the peak of a land ruled by silk and song. If you haven't played Hollow Knight, I would heartily recommend that game. I think it is the best Metroidvania ever made, including all of the Metroids and the Vanias. It is an absolutely magical experience. Very difficult, sprawling, ambitious, vast. atmospheric, just such a cool art style. The most Tim Burton game. And I really like that gothic style. You play as a little bug and you have to explore an abandoned bug nest where everything has gone wrong. There are just biomes after biomes and bosses after bosses. So much atmosphere and an absolutely beautiful score. Silk Song is the sequel. You play as Hornet, who is a an antagonist initially in the original game, wearing a little red dress with a little white bone head, fighting with a needle and thread. I cannot wait for this game. Team Cherry are on the record as being somewhat sprawling in their methods. They like to just run with it, man, and they are running with Silksong right now. So I can only assume that they are making the game bigger. I would say that I thought Hollow Knight had one or two areas too many. It felt like they kept going too long. There were some that I felt didn't need to be there. There were some that felt a little glued on to the Hollow Nest as a whole. So I hope that they, you know, as much as I want a big game, I hope that it stays coherent and I hope that it feels right. You know, I hope I don't feel like there are big areas that were glued on that cost us a year of development or whatever, just for the coherency of the game. So let's see. Let's see what Team Cherry are up to. I mean, this game has been out there. There are people who have played it in various festivals at various times. So it's out there, and who knows, you know. It was delayed last year from an initial window that was announced by Xbox as before June. Because this game will be on Game Pass. It was just bumped out of that year. Their social media manager came out and said, "We're still working on it, hold your horses," and we never heard anything again. So it's definitely frustrating. I think people are very, very frustrated by the wait for Silksong. I think it has been a marketing misstep. I do feel like it's been too long with not enough information, and that the fan base is both, you know, desperate to play it and deeply in love with Hollow Knight and really, really simmeringly frustrated. So Silksong is the great white whale and the last game on this list. I wonder who will dare to pick Hollow Knight Silksong if they are playing Fantasy Critic this year. So that's it. That is my 24 games for 2024. Let's run through them again. We started off with The Cub out on January 19th, Ultros on February 13th, Pacific Drive on February 22nd, Open Roads on February 22nd also. And then we went to release windows. We had Mina the Hollower, due out in January. Two games due out in early 2024 were Harold Halibut and 1,000 Times Resist. In spring, we have Still Wakes the Deep. In quarter one, we have Nine Souls and No Rest for the Wicked. Then general 2024 games were Nivalis, Earthblade, Animal Well, The Plucky Squire, Hyperlight Breaker, Summer House, Neva, and Pepper Grinder. And then the games of mystery, games that have been announced with no more info, were Sword of the Sea and Henry Halfhead. Delayed indefinitely were Shim and Naiad. And then the great white whales, for me personally, are Death Trash and Silksong. And, you know, fingers crossed, pray to, I don't know, what do gamers pray to? Shigeru Miyamoto. Let's all say a prayer to Shigeru that those two games come out this year. And that's it. That's my indie game picks for 2024. So I hope you enjoyed that. It was really fun to make, actually. It's a lot of work making this episode. It's maybe the most work. The most time intensive, but I'm really glad that I did it. I feel like I've done my homework for the year. And this is only a small selection, you know. There are a lot of games out there that didn't make the list or that didn't catch my imagination. I think that the one that people might be screaming at me about is a game called Replaced. I think I watched a trailer and I was like, yeah, that looks fun, but I don't know, something about it didn't grab me. There are a lot more. I mean, there are a lot of videos out there that are doing the kind of episode that I'm doing right now. It's another fun time of year. Like after GOTY season, we get the year ahead previews. and we get to feel optimistic. Look at what's coming out. So really fun to make. Hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you were looking forward to. If I missed your pick, you can tweet at me at Gaming in the Wild. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, etc. All is Gaming in the Wild. There is, of course, the Discord server. It's patron only. If you would like to hop into our lovely, truly lovely community, it's patreon.com/gaminginthewild. Support the podcast for $1 a month and come join us. Come join the party. And that's it for this week. So I'll be back next week with another episode. I'll probably be reviewing a game. Back to reviewing games after 5 weeks. Maybe it will be Liars of P. That's what I'm playing most. Maybe it will be something else. Find out next week. Thanks very much for listening. Take care of yourselves and each other. And bye-bye for now.